On this Wednesday edition of Baseball Barbacast, we try and figure out which American League team is good, if not even the best team in the AL. Jake and I make the case for and against every American League team, except for the White Sox. Couple news and notes at the end of this episode about the Chicago Cubs before we say goodbye. That's all that on this episode of Baseball Barbacast.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world who believes the American League is un-American. I'm Jake Mintz, that's Jordan Schusterman, and all the teams are the same? Doesn't sound very American to me. Sounds like a little USSR, Jordan.
Yeah, this has been a question that has been vexing us for the first few weeks. Honestly, arguably for many weeks before we began this 2025 Major League Baseball season. Are any of these American League teams good? That is going to lead us for the first couple segments of this Wednesday edition of Baseball Barbacast. I watched the Guardians and Yankees, two teams who were the last two teams standing in the American League a year ago. I've watched them over the last couple days, and you would think those would be two teams that you would hope would be definitively good, and I have mixed feelings on that. So, Jake, how are we going to go about trying to answer this question?
What do we know now that we don't know before? What have we learned about these teams is kind of informing how I think about it. Right? That's kind of the big picture thing. The next big picture thing is that we genuinely don't know. Okay? Jake and Jordan, that's us, do not have the answer to this question, the simple question of who in the American League is a good baseball team. You said something to me once that changed my life. I mean, many things you've said have changed my life.
I mean, mostly, that's just, I've said so many things to you that presumably along the way, it's not like I have some
quantity,
some amount of grand
quality
wisdom, but it's just, you know, volume shooter. Sure. Anyway, continue.
All the players are good and all the teams are bad. And that really is the foundation of this conversation. So how we're going to do this is there are 14 teams in the American League that you could make some semblance of an argument for being the best team in the American League. There's also the White Sox.
Yeah.
Who are coming off the worst season in baseball history. And for the sake of all of, look, Jake and Jordan can make a silly argument for anything. Not the White Sox being the best team in the American League. So we're not even going to pretend that that's the case. We have split up the other 14 teams. One of us is pro. One of us is against. One of us is going to make the argument that Team X is the best team in the American League. The other person is going to be like, you're an idiot. Okay? We're going to go in order. We're going to trade off. We're going to go in order of how much we believe in what we're saying. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, I know we opened out how many of these teams are good. But at this point, because the standings remain as packed as they are, and yes, there are some teams with some poor records that are still in single-digit wins that we're going to talk about. But because of where we were with some of those teams when we started the season, we're just going to go for it. And we're just going to say, you know what? Sure, why not? Why not this team? So as Jake said, we have seven each, and we're going to alternate. We're going to work our way up in our confidence meter, and we're just going to take turns being positive and negative. So again, this order will be kind of all over the place, but who would like to do you want to begin?
You
want me to start?
Yeah. All right. Who do you believe in but believe in the least of the teams I randomly assigned to you yesterday?
I am going to start working my way up with the A's. All right. This feels like a pretty natural place to begin, but here are the good things. Here are the things that I can say about the A's where it's like, you know what? Maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance. With the call-up of their top prospect, Nick Kurtz, big first baseman, their first-round pick last year, we are now looking at a lineup that is not only fun to watch, but perhaps very, very, very good. And what is so great about this A's lineup is the fact that it is, we got some wonderful variety. we got this weird Jacob Wilson situation going on. I believe he still has yet to walk this season, but he's still hitting extremely well. We got real power from both sides of the plate. We've got athleticism with guys like Jacob Wilson and with guys like Lawrence Butler. We have now this big power bats, multiple lefty power bats in Soderstrom and Kurtz and Brent Rooker. And these are all guys that are young. These guys are young. And they don't know any better. And so I am just going to hope that this team, with the amount of youth, with the amount of offensive firepower in this top, you know, five or six, Shea Langeliers, you know, having a great season, had a great season last year. I think with all the other pitching struggles across the league, I don't need this pitching staff to be that good. I just need Luis Severino to do his job. I need Jeffrey Springs to kind of settle in, and I need Mason Miller to be the best closer in baseball. And that will be enough to drive a top five offense with a bunch of home runs to the top of the American League.
That is a great argument. I'm going to need you to shorten that up moving forward. If you are going to spend that much time on the A's, then we might be here for the next 5 hours. Here's the deal. Here's why the A's are not the best team in the American League. Okay, it feels unsustainable for Tyler Soderstrom, a.k.a. the Babe Ruth of Stanislaus County, California, to finish the season with 30% of the team's home runs. Okay, I don't think that will continue. I agree with you in regards to the offense. It is interesting. It is fun. This rotation cannot belong to the best team.
Not awesome.
In the American League.
Not awesome.
It is that simple. That is why these A's of nowhere and everywhere are not the best team in the AL. Also, are you aware who is fourth and fifth for them in Baseball Reference War?
No, probably some of their random relievers that nobody's ever heard of.
Justin Sterner and Tyler Ferguson.
Tyler Ferguson pitched a ton last year. All right, we're done with the A's. I made my best case. Who are you going to fight for now?
Their division rivals, the best team in the American League, the Los Angeles Angels. Look, to believe in the Angels, admittedly, you have to cover one of your eyes. Okay, you got to look at some stuff and not other stuff. For instance, Mike Trout, who we all agree is the best player. Right?
Yeah. Still is. Still number one.
Staying healthy. Staying healthy, playing every day. Don't look at his batting average. Kyron Paris, right? Kyron Paris. Check out that full season line from Kyron Paris. Just don't look at his numbers since he last homered on April 9th. Don't worry about that.
We've been saying Kyron Paris has five home runs for a while now.
But that's more than you thought he'd have at this point in the season.
True.
Logan O'Happy. Man, five home runs.
Yep.
Hitting really well. That. Don't look at his strikeout to walk rate, though. You don't need to do that. That's okay. Kyle Hendricks. He's on pace for a 2.5 win season. Yeah, okay. You'd have taken that, right? Don't look at how many strikeouts he has. Most importantly, in regards to the Angels and not looking at stuff, these guys, you know what they're not looking at? Their phones. And that's what really matters. These unplugged Kings are truly the best team in the American League.
So I would argue you spent too much time on the Angels relative to me spending time on the A's. This is going to be easy for me to push back on the Angels. They gave up 18 hits to the Pittsburgh Pirates last night. That was with the pitcher who I believe might be their best pitcher in Jose Soriano on the mound. As I've said many times about the Angels, they're the last team that deserves the benefit of the doubt. So while there are some decent things happening, they do still have some talent. That has been true for every other season over the past, well, maybe not last year, but almost every other season during this run of not making the postseason. So I do not believe in the Angels at all. That is my pushback. Next up for me.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
They don't. That's true. They are not.
Because they're not listening to this because they don't have the podcast app because they're not on their phone.
They don't. Maybe they're watching on YouTube on their televisions. Watch us on YouTube, friends. Yeah. Whole shows are on YouTube for those who don't know. Yahoo Sports. Kansas City Royals, Jake.
Oh.
I'm going to argue for the Kansas City Royals. Now, it's not looking great so far. I understand. They're 9 or 10-14. hard-fought win against those mighty Rockies last night. We love that.
Beating the Rockies in 11 innings. It, you know how in hockey, when there's an overtime loss, it counts as a point?
This should be negative. This should be
beating the Rockies. Needing 11 to beat the Rockies shouldn't count the same as a regular win.
So here's the thing. The Royals were a postseason team last year. They proved something. In fact, they won a round. They beat another team that I'm about to argue for shortly here, the Baltimore Orioles. They still have one of the best players on the planet in Bobby Witt Jr. And while the bottom of the lineup continues to disappoint and they are near last in almost every offensive category, I still do believe that with Chris Bubic, the Croatian sensation, who looks tremendous, this is still easily an above average rotation, if not one of the 5 to 7 best in baseball. And with that, and with an improved bullpen, which has added some talent since the beginning of last year, I know some of that bullpen gave up runs to the Rockies last night. I understand that, but it is a better bullpen. This is a very good pitching staff. And in the way that the A's will score enough to overcome their crappy pitching, the Royals will prevent enough runs to allow Bobby Witt Jr. to single-handedly score enough runs. Vinny will not be this bad all year, and I think they will get just enough from the rest of their hitters to be the best team in the American League. That's right.
The team that technically was the best team in the American League, the New York Yankees, last year knocked these Royals out of the playoffs. And the reason I bring that up, do you know how many home runs the Yankees have so far this year? The answer is 41. They have 41. 41. Do you know how many home runs the Kansas City Royals have right now at time of recording?
12?
12 is the correct answer. They have 12 home runs. Tyler Soderstrom has 9 home runs. They have 12 home runs. Nobody on the team, nobody has more than 2. Okay?
Yeah.
The outfield.
Nobody has more than 2?
Nobody has more than 2.
Oh, no.
The outfield has 3. Total. Like Royals outfielders.
That's actually better than I would have thought, considering how low. Okay, anyway. Hey, no, I'm fighting for the best team in the American League. You're being a hater. Home runs are overrated.
Their opening day right fielder.
More on that on the Blue Jays in a second. Okay. Sorry, continue.
Their opening day right fielder and 6-hole hitter, MJ Melendez, is currently an Omaha Storm Chaser.
Yeah.
Okay, he got demoted. He got put in AAA timeout.
Yep.
And I don't think that enough of the complementary pieces around Bobby Witt Jr. are good enough, are going to do enough for this team to recreate what it did last year. I don't think that they are this bad. I don't think this offense is this horrifyingly horrible. They have a 71 OPS plus as a team. Okay, that is because Michael Massey, terrible. Vinny, awful. Salvador Perez, a little worried that the clock may be running out on him. Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe. These are all dudes with OPS pluses like under 60. Okay, that will get better. Sure. How much better? I don't know. And I think on the same note, the bullpen is going to have to regress here to some extent. And I'm worried about the ceiling. Now,
sure,
the division is blah enough that they could do it, but they're not the best team in the American League.
No, I picked against the Royals coming into the season, but today I am doing my best. All right, who are you going to fight for now?
The Minnesota Twins, a team that made me look idiotic last year. I put my life on the line for them, and they pushed me off a bridge.
But why are we feeling better
today,
this time around?
Today, when I fell off that bridge, I hit my head and I have amnesia and I have not watched the Twins since last August.
Oh, all right.
What is functionally different about this team right now compared to the team I fell in love with at the beginning of last season? Frankly, not a whole lot in terms of personnel. The only thing that has changed, really, is Royce Lewis is hurt again and maybe not as good as we thought. And the vibes have just tanked, been pushed off the bridge with me. But what changes the vibes better than a nice Minnesota summer? Once the weather gets hot, the bats will too. And these Minnesota Twins will rediscover their summer sausage that propelled them to such great heights a year ago. And Carlos Correa can't be this bad for this long. And the Minnesota Twins will make 2024 Jake look smart and be the best team in the American League.
So I'm glad you mentioned those Minnesota summers, because that is something that I've been looking forward to experiencing for the first time for quite a while. Target Field, one of the only stadiums I've not been to. And,
as well, you know, with me.
Not that I live that close to Minnesota, but I'm in the Midwest, and I said, I'd love to make it out to Minnesota. And coming this season, I was like, you know what? Twins are projected to win the division. Maybe they'll be awesome. Maybe they'll give me a reason to fly up to Minneapolis for a marquee series and spend some time in Minnesota summer. And instead, here they are at 8-15, just barely hanging on to beat the White Sox. It required some Byron Buxton heroics to beat them last night. And you mentioned Carlos Correa. I mean, that is part of the problem here. He has been atrocious. The fact that Harrison Bader and Ty France, who we made fun of as their like only two free agent acquisitions, the fact that those two have been two of their best hitters, that is not a good sign. That is absolutely was not the plan when you bring in guys like that. And the rotation, frankly, has disappointed. You thought you were leaning on the Joe Ryans and Bailey Obers, and they've been okay. And Pablo Lopez, who's now injured. I mean, I love Pablo Lopez, but if he's not going to be there, that's not going to be great. And then the bullpen, Griffin Jacks, we thought he was one of the best relievers in baseball, and his ERA is 10. So his time on Team USA is also in jeopardy, regardless
flight
of his service in the Air Force. And yeah, the vibes are so bad here, and everything going on with this franchise. No one wants to buy the team. That doesn't make me feel any better either. And I don't think this is happening for this Minnesota squad. Sorry.
Is it a good thing to be just 3 games up on the Chicago White Sox? No, that's not a good thing. I'll admit that. I'll readily admit that. But it is the type of thing that keeps you humble. And it's good to be humble. And that humbleness is very Minnesotan.
Okay? Wake up call?
Wake up call.
Now they go.
That will propel them to the best record in the American League. Jordan, your turn.
All righty. So I'm picking between a few AL East teams here that I have been assigned. And I am going to go with...
Come on. Doesn't matter.
I'll go with the Baltimore Orioles. Oh, yikes. Yikes. That means I believe in them less than the Jays and the Rays. All right. Orioles. But hey, I believe. And why do I believe?
You do. Why? Tell me. Please,
because
tell me.
Look.
Please tell me.
Look, man. This should still be. I know statistically it hasn't been. They've hit a good number of homers. But this should still be a top 10 offense. And it has not been thus far. This is also a group that a lot of these players should still be in their prime or heading towards their prime. That makes me feel like this is still a group that is going to emerge as elite as it was a year ago, including with some of these new faces, with a healthy Westberg, once Gunnar gets going, once Adley's been doing his part. Cedric Mullins has been awesome. If he can maintain this with some of these other younger guys picking it up, I still love this lineup. I do still love this lineup, regardless of how the numbers are going. Maybe not. Kerstad has already shown some flashes in Kowser's absence. We like that too. Maybe they don't all hit, but there's enough guys here where I'm not counting on every single one of them, even if half or more of them really pick it up. This is going to be an awesome lineup. As for historically bad rotation.
Just very quickly on the offense. On the offense. You say they haven't been a top 10 offense, and they might be soon. They are the 11th best offense by WRC Plus.
Oh. Right.
And that they have been pretty good. Not excellent, but pretty good. And still, they sink.
No, I know.
But please.
Wait, really, they're 11th in WRC Plus. I guess it's close, because I think they're like 20th in OPS. So I guess that's a bit of a discrepancy there. But
please tell me about the rotation.
As for the pitching, this is just banking on how much do I believe in the guys currently throwing the rock? Yeah, not that much. But Reinforcements are on the way. Grayson Rodriguez will surely return, but more importantly, Kyle Bradish, one of the best pitchers in the American League when he's healthy. If he can come back, when he comes back.
Thank you.
When he comes back and reminds everyone that he's one of the best pitchers in the American League, Zach Eflin will be back soon enough. That's a good pitcher. We just got to stabilize it. Just got to stabilize it. Maybe Brandon Young can really, you know, step up and become a reliable four starter. Maybe Cade Povich can get the home runs under control. If not, that's fine. They combine for 500 home runs. My bold prediction is correct. But for now, Sugano's doing his part. Okay. I think Kremer can be a little bit better. Charlie Morton, bless his heart. I hope it's not this bad. I hope it's not totally over. I think as Bautista rounds into form, we'll get a hot stretch from the other hard throwing relievers. I think there's just enough here with a good lineup. And maybe we'll get some more reinforcements on the way from AAA. So, you know, I'm talking about them early here because I don't believe that much, but this is still a team we thought was going to be pretty good.
The pitching stinks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
There's my argument. Here's my argument against the Orioles. You, dear listener, have you watched the Orioles this year? You have? Oh, you get it.
Yeah. That's both it. Picked them to miss the playoffs, if I recall.
Yes, because I was worried about the pitching. Yeah. And the pitching stinks. It stinks.
Yeah.
They have a team ERA of 5.48. This is a great rule of thumb. If your team ERA is higher than the Rockies team ERA, a team that has no idea what it is doing in regards to pitching development, a team that plays on the moon, if you are worse than that team by a half a run, I do not think you are the best team in the American League.
Fair enough. Who you got next?
Thank you, Your Honor. Who do I have next? I will take the Seattle Mariners.
Mm-hmm. It's only right.
This one is pretty simple, actually. The Seattle Mariners, right now, by rotation earned run average, are 21st in baseball. There is no chance that continues. It's like zero chance. If the Mariners finish in the bottom 10 in rotation ERA at the end of the year, they should move the team to Nashville because that's the whole point, kind of, right? Just raise the stadium to the ground and honestly put it in the sea. Make them real Mariners. But that they are currently in second place in the division with a 12-11 record with an abysmal starting rotation gives me confidence in this team that it is the part of the operation that is most likely to turn around. And so given the positive signs from the offense, I think there is sun here for the Seattle Mariners coming.
I hope you're right, but if I'm going to make the argument against them, it is that this is still a lineup that is thin, that is relying on players that likely do not belong as everyday major league hitters. It is the fact that once again, they seem to have acquired a player in Donovan Solano as soon as he stopped being good. That has been a theme for many recent Mariners hitting acquisitions. And I do think that while there's no way the rotation ERA will be bottom 10, there are reasons to believe it won't be number one again as it was last year. And that's really what they needed to get even as close to almost making the postseason last year and not. And I think that combined with a bullpen that has continued to be way shakier and way less reliable than it has been in recent good Mariners teams is enough to believe that while I think they are a relevant team, I don't think they are the best team in the American League. That is what I believe about the Mariners, who I continue to watch many, many baseball games of. I'm going to do one more, and then we're going to take a break, Jake.
Cool.
I'm going to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. Here's why I do believe in the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I know you're going to point out they don't hit any home runs either. but they are still kind of hitting. Vlad and Bo have not necessarily been putting the ball in the air, but they're hitting the ball really hard. George Springer looks rejuvenated and awesome. Anthony Santander, who was brought in to hit home runs, has not hit any home runs. He'll start to hit home runs. Maybe that contract's not going to look awesome. He's going to hit home runs eventually. And I think when you combine that with the younger hitters who are going to start to finally settle in, our guy Alan Rodon, Will Wagner, maybe we'll get some Lo Profito, Addison Barger. As those guys start to settle into their major league roles, I think this is going to end up being a pretty solid lineup. You get Max Scherzer back. Chris Bassett's maybe having like a Seth Lugo type, I'm going to throw 500 different pitches all the way to a top five Cy Young finish. I know he wasn't awesome last night, but he's been really solid so far. Love what I've seen from Gausman. Barrios is fine. I at least know he's going to take the ball every 4 or 5 days. And the bullpen's way better. Jeff Hoffman's elite. Jimmy Garcia's been awesome. And some of these other lesser-known relievers have also generally been pretty solid. So I think that they are improved much from last year. I think last year was worst-case scenario. I think the power will start to come. And I think that I think they're pretty solid. They're the best team in the American League. What am I talking about?
Thank you. George Springer fascinates me. I don't buy it. Are you aware that his whiff rate is up 11 points?
I am, but that's appears to be on purpose. Because he's hitting the ball way harder than he had. Like, it seems like he's cool. Let it eat. Yeah, and it's working, but the production's there.
Production is there. I don't know if it'll continue. And, you know, heading into last night, we really have seen absolutely nothing. Zero zilch, zippo from the supporting cast beyond Bo and Vlad, right? The group of Rodon, Ernie Clement, Davis Schneider, Addison Barger, Nathan Lucas, Will Wagner.
Schneider, AAA.
Ugh. That whole gaggle is just been great. A zero. And that group needs, one of those dudes needs to be something.
Yep.
At least one for this team to be the best in the American League, even for this team to be a playoff team.
Yep.
And none of those players so far this season have given me a reason to believe that, like, that's possible. Alejandro Kirk looks horrible.
That's tough. That's a tough one coming off that extension. That's tough.
That one looks awful. And then, you know, they've gotten a bizarre amount of offensive production from the likes of Tyler Heineman and Miles Straw. And I'll take the under on both of those moving forward, respectfully. And so I just, like, who's the, Santander is probably the third best hitter on this team after Vlad and Bo. And, like, Vlad and Bo have been good. They have not been sensational. They have not been as good as this team needs them to be, right? And so because of that, there's no chance they could be the best team in the American League. Now, I don't know if you mentioned this. They do have the best pitcher, the best reliever in the world, in Jeff Hoffman.
No, I said, Jeff Hoffman. He's elite. He's the man. And he's Ben Dalton Francis is mostly picked up where he left off. Like,
One more leading question.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one more question. Who's their five starter on this team? Yeah. Gausman, Bassett, Barrios, Francis. Who's their five starter?
This Paxton Schultz guy. I know you probably never heard of him, but boy, did he look good against the Mariners, which, what does that mean? It's a good question. Hopefully they can trade for it from their very good farm system. All right.
Not really.
Let's take a break. And when we return, 7 more American League teams. We're going to tell you why they're the best in the league. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Before we rattle off the 7 other American League teams and why they're the best in the league.
The best.
This is also seemingly a good time to mention the state of interleague play, as we now have a ton of interleague play. More than ever. Balanced schedule has brought it to make it totally normal.
We used to talk all the time about weird interleague matchups.
Yep.
Kind of dead. Kind of done.
Kind of like
watching
dead,
Pirates done. Angels yesterday felt normal. Even Diamondbacks Rays felt normal.
Diamondbacks Rays was along those lines where you were starting to feel, you know, like, huh, this is a little strange. But obviously, interleague did not exist until 1997. It was only 252 games a year from 2001 to 2012. Then it was 300 games a year from 2013 to 2022. I did not know this. The American League had a better record in interleague play every season from 2004 to 2017. Okay, so that's pretty astounding. But then in 2019, the National League had the best record that any league has ever had in interleague play. They had a 5.53 winning percentage. And then since interleague has expanded over the last 3 years, where now there's just a ton of it because everybody plays everybody, yeah, the National League has had the best record each of the last 3 years. 5.25 winning percentage in 2023, 5.35 in 2024. And so far this year, the NL is 65-52 in interleague play, a 5.55 interleague record, which winning percentage in interleague play, which would be the best ever. So we will keep an eye on this. If it does turn out to be true that the National League is just way better than the American League, this is one way to measure that. But let's move forward and continue to make our case for these American League teams.
This is a good thing. It's like in the end, if the MLB wants to be more like, you know, the NBA, which is why I said the MLB, if the MLB wants to be more like the NBA, where one conference is just way better than the other conference, good way to do it.
It's true. All right. Where are you going from here? We got seven teams left. And again, we're working our way up from how much we truly believe.
The Texas Rangers.
Okay.
The Texas Rangers are third to last in runs scored in the American League. They are 27th in baseball. Mm-hmm. They have scored 75 runs compared to the MLB leading Cubs, who have a double, basically exactly double that. And yet, the Texas Rangers are tied for the best record in the AL right now. I think that's it. That's my take. This offense will figure it out. There are too many talented players for them to be this bad. Marcus Semien is better than this. Jake Berger, who homered last night, is better than this. Even Leody Taveras, who, God, he looks terrible, he's better than this. Jock Peterson still doesn't have a hit since
over 41, over 42. I don't know. Point is, Chris Davis is paying attention now.
Correct. Wyatt Langford looks like the real freaking deal. I mean, it is happening. The Wyatt Langford show is happening. He is probably the second best player on this team. When Josh Young plays, he is outstanding. And then as far as the rotation goes, they've been great. Tyler Molly looks like the best pitcher on earth. Nathan Eovaldi is earning his money. Jack Leiter was good before he got hurt.
Yeah. Blister, I think. It's not. I think he's not too serious. So.
I know.
We'll get Jack Leiter back. Yeah.
This team has underwhelmed so far from a production standpoint on the offensive side of the ball. And they are if you had told them, hey, you're going to be 14-9 to start the season, they would have taken that. And there's just so much more stuff that you could project on with this team where I'm like, yes, that will happen. This will happen. Yep. Sure, Corey Seager was removed from the game last night with a hamstring strain, I believe. Doesn't matter. You don't need him.
No, we don't. So that is perfect. That will keep my argument very simple. I do see the upside with this group, but the image of Corey Seager kind of limping off towards the very distant visitors clubhouse in Sacramento in center field was a reminder of this group's flimsiness from a durability standpoint on both sides of the ball. And outside of Marcus Semien, who we know he'll play. Other than that, this is a lot of players that we've seen miss times along the way, whether it is a Young, whether it is a Dolis, whether it is certainly Corey Seager. Obviously on the mound, this has been an issue too with guys like DeGrom, with guys like Malley, what are we going to get from a workload standpoint with Leiter and Rocker as they kind of build up as part of the rotation? And then this bullpen that they've completely reinvented, I just don't really believe in at all. Luke Jackson is a nice guy. I like him a lot. I wish him success. him as the capital C closer just does not seem like an awesome plan A. But it's even beyond that. I know Robert Garcia has generally been what they wanted, but it's just this pitching staff does feel a little flimsy. I see the upside. The upside here, this is a team really where it's like, if it is all clicking, I get it, but it's still way too many question marks from a durability standpoint for me. So that's why they are not going to be the best team in the American League.
Sure. Who is, though?
The Tampa Bay Rays. Now, you say, well, the Ray, what are you talking about? They're 9-14. That is only the only teams worse than that are the Twins and the White Sox. How could you possibly be still arguing for them? This team hasn't even won a road game yet this year. Now, you might say, what? They haven't won a, well, they've only played four. So the Rays are one of the more confounding teams to start the season, but I believed in them to start the year, and they have done enough right, kind of just they rank in the top half in starting pitching ERA, in bullpen ERA, in a lot of offensive categories. There is a lot going pretty well here, and their run differential is still positive. I think that there's enough new characters here. I believe in Junior Caminero. He's starting to heat up. I think at least one of Jonathan Aranda or Cameron Meisner is the real deal and is an impact bat. If both of them are, then fantastic. And I do still believe in the talent on the mound, both in the bullpen, even if they're mostly anonymous. But and in the rotation, I believe in Pepiot. I believe in Taj Bradley. I think we're going to get Shane McClanahan back. I think there's upside here. I think there's depth. And I think that while I'm a little bit concerned that they're spending almost the entirety of the second half on the road, I'm just going to say that is going to be, you know, a team bonding road warrior experience, and they're going to surge all the way back into the postseason mix because that's where the Rays belong in the postseason. So no roof, no problem. Give me these Tampa Bay Rays, best team in the American League.
So my biggest issue with the Rays at present is that they are practically playing every game with seven hitters.
Oh yeah, Ha-Sung Kim's coming back though. Don't forget him.
Sure. Not yet though. They're practically playing every game with seven hitters. And here's what I mean by that. Their catchers, who are Ben Roethlisberger and Daniel Jansen, on the year are 8-72. That is a 111 batting average.
That's so not the Cubs. This is the opposite of what's happening with the Cubs.
Rays catchers are slashing 111, 256, 167 for a 422 OPS. Okay, 422. So anytime that the catcher spot in the lineup comes up, it's easy out. And they have Taylor Walls playing shortstop, who I actually think is the worst hitter. I would like to see him and Austin Hedges do like a MVP Hedges baseball great, 2005.
Got a couple homers. Yeah,
I know.
Oh, but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So Walls is up. Oh, that's an out. So like you get to this 8-9 guys in the lineup and you're like, well, okay, just it's hard to win ball games with seven hitters. There's a reason. Teams don't do that. And so that I know that I'm picking on the bottom of the roster instead of the top of the roster. But I'll do that now. Cameron Meisner and Jake Mangum are not this good. They're both very fun and they're interesting and they look like big leaguers. I still find it hard to believe that they're impact big leaguers.
Yep.
Which is what they have been. They've been essentially two of the best hitters. Jonathan Aranda, I'll give you that. It looks like that one.
That's something. That one might hold up.
Looks like Mexican Kerry Carpenter right now. Brandon Lau looks bad. And he is
a little worried about that one.
Worried about him. And there's Yandy. He and Yandy look a little over the hill. Like they just doesn't look like what they're supposed to look like. And if those guys aren't humming, then where's the impact coming from behind Junior Caminero? And so that's why I feel about the lineup as far as the rotation is concerned. Ryan Pepiot is getting clobbered. Like his fastball, I think, is the third worst. It has like the third lowest run value of any fastball, and that's the guy they started on opening day.
They're giving up a lot of home runs. The Rays now, I know
they're playing at home a lot.
Some of that is at home, so I think that'll balance out. But they are, I acknowledge they are giving them up. I realize that.
So that's my argument.
Anyway, but I still, I'm in on the Rays. I am not only because I picked them before the season, but I actually have seen enough that I like. But all right, who are you arguing for next?
The New York Yankees. The New York Yankees.
Ooh.
The New York Yankees. Right. Have you seen Aaron Judge play before?
Hey, I watched him go 4-for-4 last night, and I was like, dude, I thought this guy hits home runs. He stinks. No, he's been, I mean, rest of this lineup, but sorry. We're staying positive. Why are the Yankees the best team in the American League?
I mean, Aaron Judge is the best player in the world. Yep. It's not close.
Yep.
Ben Rice is the second best player in the world, apparently.
Oh, yep. No notes.
Let me say quickly on Ben Rice. Everybody I've talked to, scouts, evaluators, they're like, this is real. There is an overwhelming sense that this is not a bit. It is not a fluke. Last year was because of the type of hitter he was at the time. He has meaningfully changed. And because of that, people across the league are buying. I believe in this lineup. This has been the best lineup in the American League. Cubs are probably the best in baseball, but this has been the best lineup in the American League. And that is with Cody Bellinger underwhelming. That is with Jazz Chisholm being cold since the first week of the year. That is with an average Austin Wells. That is with a blah Anthony Volpe. Even with all of those caveats, they have a 131 team OPS plus. Now you could say, Jake, that's because Aaron Judge is God. Well, guess what? That's not going to change. That's the point. That's the bit. The bit is that Aaron Judge is unbelievable.
Yeah.
On the pitching side, right? Look, you could look at who they're rolling out there and you could say, Jake, my pal, my friend, my buddy, one of Carlos Carrasco or Marcus Stroman is going to be in the rotation for the next 2 months. That's not a viable path forward. We can't live our lives this way. And to you, I'd say, that's why you have Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Max
Fried, Aaron Judge answers a lot. How about that?
Also, Max Fried might be like a top five pitcher in the American League. He looks unbelievable.
Yeah. All fair. I can't refute anything about Aaron Judge, as I've watched him do cool things here in Cleveland over the last couple of days. But I've also, like, yes, Aaron Judge might continue to be the best player in the world. That's fine. But we also have the Trent Grisham and Ben Rice, you know, 1,000 OPSs propping up their overall numbers. And
What do you mean propping up? The words propping up imply that it's not a sustainable situation.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this is just a roster that once again is trending towards fitting together in a very strange way as DJ LeMahieu works his way back. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. As Stanton works his way back, I think that's a good thing. Is Ben Rice going to catch? Seems like they don't really want that, but maybe he's going to have to if Austin Wells isn't hitting. And then what does that do to your defense? I think this is just still a very bizarrely constructed roster, which we thought was more flexible than it was in years past. And maybe it is, but I think there's some dynamics that are going to make it not that. And I don't like how Bellinger looks at all. The fact that he's still hitting third is kind of surprising. I don't think Paul Goldschmidt's going to BABIP 450 for the whole season. I know he's become this like amazing, he's chasing a batting title alongside Aaron Judge, but he's not hitting the ball with impact. And so once the batted ball, you know, if he stops getting singles every day, I worry that production is going to fall out. And then I just think the rotation is in a very delicate place from a health standpoint. And the bullpen walks a lot of guys, so many walks. And so that is my concern with the Yankees. I can see them being the best team in the American League. They were very flawed last year and they made it to the World Series. That very well may happen again, but I'm still seeing some pretty glaring concerns for this Yankees group.
And that's my argument. This team doesn't have to be the best team in baseball. They just have to be the best team in the American League.
Yeah.
And they just did that.
Yeah, that's true.
Doing the same exact shtick.
Yep. All right. You talk about the Cleveland Guardians now.
This team makes me so mad right now.
Just to clarify, again, we assigned these teams before we started. So we're not just picking from all of them here. But my last two teams left are Cleveland and Houston. And I still think I believe in Houston more, as flawed as they have been. So I'm going to start with Cleveland. And this is kind of the same thing. What did we just say? They were flawed last year and they made it to the ALCS. I do think that there are parts of this team, they're certainly very different, right? The same thing with the Yankees. There are a lot of things that are different about this team. There's no longer Josh Naylor. There's no longer Andrés Giménez. But I think that there is upside in this rotation that simply did not exist a year ago. And I think if you balance out the regression of the bullpen, which is still very good, Cade Smith still looks like one of the best relievers in baseball. Tim Herron still looks very good. Hunter Gaddis still looks very good. Emmanuel Clase cannot look this bad all season. Even if he's not the best reliever in the game, I still think he's going to end up being a very good one. And so when you combine that with the additions of Gavin Williams and Luis Ortiz, who are trending towards being very useful, solid mid-rotation starters. Once Bieber comes back, maybe you get a little John Means at the end of the season. Tanner Bibee continues to look like a really solid frontline guy. Is the offense going to be, without Naylor, as reliable? Manzardo's doing his best to make it happen. I think Nolan Jones will round into a useful, you know, solid everyday outfielder. And I think that the pitching is going to be better enough and the lineup is going to be average enough, similar to last year, that with the magic of Jose Ramirez and this wonderful coaching staff, I think that they can once again make it, win the division and make it back to the ALCS, if not farther.
They have a negative run differential right now.
Yeah, they do. They've won five in a row and they still have a negative run differential. So they lost to your lowly Baltimore Orioles last week. So
who's the center fielder for this team?
So this is... Lane Thomas just went on the IL. He is a big X factor for this team coming in because it was like, this is a new character who we think is an above average hitter and was awful before he hit the IL. So I don't love that as the answer, but I do like Angel Martinez. So I don't know. Maybe they trade for one.
I just don't think that this lineup can be the best team in the American League.
Yeah. Valid.
That's it. Trading away Josh Naylor looks particularly egregious when the rest of the... When you look at the team, you're like, man, they can really use a Josh Naylor type. I know that the rock hound, Kyle Manzardo...
He's doing his part. Yeah. Santana.
In the quarry, chipping away. Santana. Yeah. This might be a Mariner situation where you bring the guy in right as he's...
He's still playing a mean first base, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be batting in the middle of the order. I'm a little bit concerned. So
the Guardians do a lot of things well. They're incredibly fun to watch, and I just struggle to believe they're the best team in baseball.
That's fine. All right, who you got next?
Oh, big deep breath, big deep breath, big deep breath. I'm going to do the Detroit Tigers, okay?
All right.
The team that I want to believe is the best team in baseball. Best team in the American League.
Careful.
Whoa, yikes. These guys get outs. They get outs. All of them get outs. Tarek Skubal has been merely very, very good and not elite. But the rest of this rotation has. The Casey Mize resurgence looks very real. Jack Flaherty is making everyone go, why didn't this guy get more money last year? Jackson Jobe is looking like the real freaking deal. And the bullpen, which wowed us last year, looks much more sustainable than the one Cleveland assembled this year. Like, these were like the two best bullpens in baseball last year. And they were just like, whoa, how did it? I think Clase falling down to earth kind of pushes the Cleveland bullpen. It affects everything else below it.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas because of how the Tigers' interchangeable pieces work together, if one dude is bad, it doesn't rot the rest of the operation as much. Mm-hmm. Offensively, Offensively.
Yep.
Offensively. Because baseball teams, there's the offense part, right?
Right.
And then there's also the
score runs, the, prevent runs. Yep.
Sure. Defense part. Spencer Torkelson, breakout reel. One of the biggest changes in a player that I believe in now compared to when the season started, Spencer Torkelson, no question. Kerry Carpenter is doing exactly what I thought he would do. And he's really, really, really good. Really good. Okay. What else is there? Dylan Dingler, their catcher.
Love
makes
Dylan
Jordan
Dingler.
Schusterman go like raise his eyebrows.
I love Dylan Dingler. I don't know. He also has not drawn a walk yet this season, but
he needs one.
He is fun.
Riley Green has been really blah. He was their offensive all-star last year. That doesn't worry me, really.
Okay.
That to me feels like a slow start for a really talented 24-year-old outfielder coming off an all-star season. You know?
All right.
I don't I believe enough in Riley Green as a talented baseball player. And then you have all these supplementary pieces who don't need to be sensational. We just did this. They were like the best team in baseball in August and September, piecing the rest of it together. That Javi Baez is merely bad and not unusably bad is a sneaky big deal. They're rolling
him
out.
I'm not even sure he's been bad. He just hasn't. He's just there, which is great. he's hanging out. He's in 270.
He's on the team.
Whatever.
He's playing. Yeah. He's doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is it weird that we're using one of the generational all-time great infield defenders in center? Yeah, it's freaking odd. That's weird. Don't know what to make of that. This team is good. I want them to be the best team in baseball. If they had one more offensive MF-er, I would be in. Like, this is a team that should trade for a real bat at the deadline.
Yeah, totally. And presumably they have the prospects to do so. I'm also in on the Tigers, but if I'm making the case against, it's that this is still, even if Torque is real, which I think Torque is real, I also still think that he's going to have runs where he strikes out a lot. Combine that with Riley Green, it's not just like, oh, the BABIP's low. I mean, he's striking out. He has the most strikeouts in the AL. Like, yeah, I'm not saying he's suddenly a bad player, but there seems to be something going on there that might take a little bit longer to figure out. And I still just don't believe in this collection of position players from an impact standpoint. I still think it's one of the lower ceiling groups in the AL. And that is the concern. Even if Torque is real and Kerry Carpenter continues to do his thing, it is still in that very specific role. And I think on the whole, it's just because, again, if you're just talking about war, you're talking about defense, like it's just this is not a position player group that it looks elite. Now, the pitching might be this good. And so I get it. But I still think there's going to be some regression coming with the bullpen, even if the rotation is much improved. And that alone also makes me a little nervous. Houston Astros. So there's definitely reasons to think, all right, uh-oh, are the Astros, is it finally over? 12-11. All right, some of their best hitters are not playing well. If there's a single hitter where it's like, he's not this bad that I feel the strongest about in the entire league, it's Jordan Alvarez, and it's not even close.
Of course.
Not even close. Of all of the hitters who have below average batting lines at this point in the season, him hitting 213 with a 600 OPS is the least of my concerns. I think he will still end up being one of the best hitters in baseball. And when you consider that, like, Cam Smith, it's a very strange bat ball profile, but he's starting to at least be, I don't need him to hit more home runs than Kyle Tucker. I just need him to be a solid outfielder, which has been a weak spot for them in the other couple spots. Altuve has been fine. I think Paredes and Walker will settle in. Am I worried about Yiner Diaz? Yes. But really, I still believe in this pitching. I believe in Hunter Brown. I think he's awesome. I think he's going to compete for a Cy Young. I believe that Framber Valdez will continue to look better as, you know, free agency approaches. I believe in Wesneski. You know, if Arrigetti comes back, I think he's a good pitcher. I believe in this pitching staff, and I think that they do have still enough elite high-end hitters that when they come together, I think this is still absolutely a team that can be the best team in the AL. And it's the opposite of the Angels and some of these other teams. They are the team that deserves the most benefit of the doubt for at least another season, especially after what happened a year ago. So I'll still keep riding with Houston, even if there are some different personnel involved.
Yiner Diaz really worries me. And he really worries me because it's a downtick on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Yep.
His throwing looks terrible. His framing has not taken the step forward that it's needed to. And the bat has backed up completely. Now, he's the type of hitter who's swinging at everything under the sun, and that means he can get really hot really quickly. But it just doesn't look good. He's still a 26-year-old catcher, and you know, catchers often maybe take a little bit more time. But as a player who is supposed to be a backbone of this team, that bothers me. Christian Walker has looked out of sorts in a way that reminds me of Diamondbacks playoff run Christian Walker, where you were like, you'd watch him and you'd be like, that's an out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And with a player who's 34 years old, it's understandable to look at them and worry about whether it is the end, which would be just like depressingly. I love Christian Walker. It would be depressingly hilarious if the Astros signed another. If
the same thing happens again.
The same thing happened that happened with Abreu.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Altuve's defense, no matter where you put him, is a legitimate problem. I know Cam Smith has been better than anybody could have hoped as an outfielder so far. Altuve, it is just a brutal watch. It's bad.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about the Astros, and then we'll finish with that team in Boston, is Jeremy Peña looks awesome.
Awesome.
He is like, he seems to, which like, okay, it's his fourth season, like, he's 27. Like, it's not unrealistic to think that he could like take another step forward. And that's a big deal as well. So
he is, I believe, the third fastest player in baseball right now.
Do you see Cam Smith's sprint speed? I couldn't believe that. He's also like 95th percentile. That blew my mind. I'm like, how is that enormous person moving like that? So anyway, Cam Smith is a freak.
I think the Astros are good. Brendan Rodgers being solid so far is a great example of like, go get decent players from bad teams and then teach them how baseball works. I will finish up with the Boston Red Sox.
All right.
So here I am saying to you, best team in the American League, Boston Red Sox. They're three games above 500 with a win-loss record that is above their run differential. Okay. Rafi Devers has been average. He will not be average all year. He will be better than average. I believe that to my core. You say that Yordan is someone who you think will kind of turn their offensive season around. I feel the same about Devers, and he has not been horrible. He's just been average. The only thing about this team that I feel worse about today than I did when the season began and I was super high on them is Tristan Casas. That's it. Everything else, I feel the same or better about. Willier Abreu confirmed that what he did last year already feels real, right? That feels real. Trevor Story being healthy and showing that despite all those injuries, he's not cooked, that's a huge deal. That encourages me a ton. Jaron Duran started slow, and I'm kind of, the defense has been bad, and I don't understand what's going on there. Every time that he drives a ball to the opposite field and like doinks off the wall, I'm like, this is a freak. He is really, really good still. Christian Campbell has showed already why this front office had so much faith in him to move Devers to DH. He's been outstanding. And so the offensive unit as a whole, I feel better about them today than I did at the beginning of the year. Sorry, Alex Bregman, what a perfect fit. A freaking perfect fit.
Absolutely.
He has been.
Yep.
The pitching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pitching. Garrett Crochet, God. Like, yep. Cy Young, God. Unbelievable so far. That's why they're the best team in the American League.
that's I'm fine with a lot of that. I think that Bregman and Crochet being as advertised is awesome. I'm high in the Red Sox too. I picked them too. I do, and I think I mostly agree with your broad point. If it's like, okay, Casas is the only thing I'm concerned about. I don't know what I'm getting from basically any other starter besides Crochet, and that alone has me spooked. I know Bueller's finally started to look good. I was such a believer last year. He has been so bad. Maybe you say, all right, get Giolito back in here. We just got Bayo back. You know, you get Cutter Crawford. You know, this will start to come together. Maybe that's true. I'm just still concerned about kind of the volatility of the pitching staff beyond Crochet. Yeah. On top of just like, I hope Crochet is this awesome for 200 innings, but it is still a lot to ask from him. So that is what has me spooked. Out, but I think that the upside, I think the ceiling here is absolutely the highest in the league. So yeah.
Just quickly with Hauk, I mean, his numbers are a little bit inflated because he allowed 11 runs in two innings against the Rays. Besides that, his starts have not been horrendous. Four runs, 3 runs, 1 run, 2 runs.
Yeah.
The reason I believe in the pitching apparatus in Boston, the starting pitching, okay, is a quantity over quality thing. In addition to, I believe in Andrew Bailey and their pitching coach, and I believe in Craig Breslow as a pitching brain to get it right. Where, Beyond Crochet, if you were like, Jake, who's starting game two of a playoff series for the Red Sox right now?
Yeah, like that's Crochet. I have no idea.
But you have a ton of options. Bueller, Hauk, Richard Fitz, Giolito.
Fitz is good. Dobbins Brian has been Bayo, good. Like,
who was good last, like, fine last the, night.
The Sean like, Newcomb renaissance is inexplicable, but like, sure, you know, like Massachusetts and so, own.
It's a weird way to do that. To get to that endpoint, but there are the bulk of arms gives me enough confidence to say this is the best team in the American League. Now, this whole experiment that we just conducted proves we have no idea what the hell is going on in the
true.
We should revisit this in a month.
True. Allow me to say one more name, then we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap quickly. Masataka Yoshida. Just going to let that sit. Let that sit. It's going to remind everyone he still exists. Does he still exist? I hope
Does
so.
Does Devers own a first baseman's club?
We will be right back on Baseball Barbercast.
And welcome back to the end of Baseball Barbercast. Let's move quick here. Outrageous Cubs Dodgers game last night on Tuesday night. The Cubs winning, I believe the final score is 49-48. The Chicago Cubs right now are a hilarious operation. They rake.
They are first in almost every category. I know they're first in steals. I know they're top three in average, top three in homers, top, I think, number one in OPS, runs scored per game. Wow.
Kyle Tucker is making himself.
Oh my god. Yeah. Kyle Tucker's doing everything you could hope. Now we got Ian Happ heating up. We got Suzuki and Bush and PCA still launching homers, and Carson Kelly is Johnny Bench. And I mean, Miguel Amaya. Holy crap. Yeah.
Every ball hit in the air right now at Wrigley, I'm like, whoop, that's gone. Right. And that applies to the Cubs bullpen as well. Because
yeah, and that's the part of this which is like, how does this get better? But we're having a great time watching them. They are
exhilarating.
I think
they're the most entertaining team in the league. They're the most watchable team in baseball right now, and it's not close. Part of that is because if they're up by 5 in the 6th, you don't need to turn off, you cannot turn off the television, because they could blow that lead in 3 minutes. And so the game, you know, it's like, oh, with this lineup, the game's never out of reach. With this bullpen, the game is never out of reach over. And often for teams, they have like one of those things and not the other. The Cubs, it's great. You cannot turn away from this. And it's not just that the offense is good, it's that the offense is interesting. Like, there is no one else playing like Pico Armstrong. Kyle Tucker's zone coverage, his ability to hit balls in different places, two different places, is freakish. Seiya Suzuki is a great watch. Like, there's just a lot to care about with the Cubs. Maybe we'll do a deeper dive, have somebody on from Cubs World to talk about it at some point next week. Anything else from around the league you want to bring up before we get out of here, Jordan?
No, I do wanted to. I just the really encapsulated this Cubs game last night. That was the 7th time the Cubs have scored 10 runs this season. No other team has scored 10 more than 3 times. And hilariously enough, it was the first time the Dodgers had scored 10 runs this season.
Dodgers 0-1 when they scored double-digit runs.
And they lost. There are four teams, according to StatHead, that have yet to score 10 runs in a game this season, and I'm not going to figure out which teams those are right now. No, that's it. We will end it here. There are some call-ups. Maybe we'll do a little Jordan's Prospect Hut on Friday. We got some other stuff coming up on Friday. We'll get to your emails. Got some wonderful emails, so keep those coming, baseballbarbercast@gmail.com. But for now, we will cut it off. Thank you to TJ Brassel and Carter Singh for producing this episode. And everyone, enjoy the rest of the week, and we will talk to you on Friday. See ya.